I always like to watch these videos. You see them on YouTube or maybe on a television program, or you can read books about them. But heroes, people that have sacrificed something in their life, or they've sacrificed their own life to help someone else, to save someone else. I like to watch them and read about them because it reminds me that there's still some good people in the world. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of positive in the world, and reading things like that or watching things like that helps to counter all the bad news, and we've had plenty of bad news this week, all last year, you know, lots of bad news out there. I want to show you one of these. This is a story that ran in 2019, so almost 2 years ago now, on CBS News. And this takes place, though, so it ran in 2019, but the story itself takes place in 2007, so roughly 12 years before that. And it took a while for this hero to get the honor he deserved, but I'm really glad that he finally received it. Let's watch that video now.
President Trump today presented the Medal of Honor to the family of Army Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins. Sergeant Atkins died so other soldiers could live. David Martin tells his incredible story.
It was the 1st of June, 12 years ago, that Sergeant Travis Atkins called from Iraq to tell his parents he was about to take his men out on a mission.
He did say that he was sorry he had forgotten to get something in the mail for me for Mother's Day.
Just hours later, Army officers arrived to tell them their son was dead.
After we spoke to the chaplain, I went to the mailbox, and there was a little package from Travis with a Mother's Day card for me and a Father's Day card for Jack. The card said, "Thanks for everything." And it just brought it home.
It was meant to save our lives.
It was only when they met with Sandejo and other soldiers in Atkins' unit that they found out how he died.
He had definitely sacrificed himself so that we could live.
Aho was the machine gunner in their Humvee, and he watched as Atkins and the team's medic got out to search two men they suspected of planting roadside bombs.
That's when Travis started to actually engage in a form of hand-to-hand combat with this man. Travis bear hugged the man, lifted him up off the ground, and slammed him down.
Aho didn't realize it yet, but the man had pulled the pin on a grenade to detonate a suicide vest. Atkins was wrestling himself into position to shield his men from the blast.
You were there. You're alive today because of it.
Yes, sir.
What did it mean to you when you found out that he was going to receive the medal?
It was good to see that, you know, there was a grateful nation that were as thankful as I was for the sacrifice he made for me and others.
His father, a Vietnam vet, says none of that surprised him because he had talked to his son about being a soldier.
We talked about the responsibility of what you owe to people who are serving under you, what you need to do to protect them.
The medal was presented to Atkins' son, Trevor Oliver, who was 10 when his father died. It is, of course, this nation's highest honor, but perhaps not Travis Atkins' greatest achievement.
The real reward is, you know, what your men think of you.
That was on full display when those who served with him, privates to colonels, were asked to stand. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
Now, y'all, I watched that thing about 3 or 4 times last week so I wouldn't get emotional, and I got emotional. I'm trying to keep it together for you here, all right? Keep that story in mind this morning, if you would. We're in a sermon series called Jesus Greater Than Everything. We're going through the book of Hebrews. We're doing a chapter a week and looking at selected verses this week. We're in part 9, Jesus is your sacrifice. Jesus is your sacrifice. We can get caught up in hero stories, or I can anyway, get caught up in these things on YouTube and kind of go in that YouTube rabbit hole of more stories that are like it, or maybe read a book about that, articles. You can read these things all over the place. And they're great. Those stories are great and inspiring. But Jesus is greater than any hero you'll ever read about. Jesus is greater. I'm not taking anything away from them, but Jesus is greater because Jesus is greater than everything. We'll be in Hebrews 9 in just a few minutes. If you haven't turned there or tapped there, you can now. Chapter 9 is a fantastic chapter. It builds on what chapter 8 was talking about, and really all of Hebrews builds on as it goes along. And so we're not going to be able to read all the verses this week, but if you might want to go back and read all of chapter 9, and if you've got enough time, read 8 and 9 together. They complement each other very well. And so here's a quick summary to get to the verses I'm going to read today. Hebrews goes on to talk about the Old Covenant. If you were here last week, you remember that chapter 8 talked about the Old Covenant, the First Covenant. And in that discussion, in the first part of chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews talks about two rooms in the tabernacle. And later that was reflected a similar setup in the temple. But he was talking about the tabernacle. You can find all this in the Old Testament. I'm not trying to give you all the information on it. But he mentioned there were two special rooms within the tabernacle. The first room was called the Holy Place, and that was used daily, really twice a day, for sacrifices. The priest, that was their main job, to go in there and offer sacrifice. But then there was another room, the Most Holy Place. You'll see it called other things, but the writer of Hebrews calls it the Most Holy Place. And only the high priest could go in this room, ever. And he only went in once per year. The high priest was the only person that could go in to meet God directly and offer sacrifice directly to God, to be in his presence. The writer of Hebrews also said this was set up to show that the most holy place, or the place where you can directly meet, talk to, pray, offer sacrifice, it's not accessible by everyone yet at the writing at the time of the Old Covenant. But that was not forever. As we all know, we're in the New Covenant, the Second Covenant. Today, I'd like to show you two sections of Scripture, and along with those two sections, two things to consider, two things to think about, maybe talk it over this week. I'm going to start in verse 11. I'm reading from the New International Version, the NIV. So if you're reading something different, it should be similar. Verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not part of this creation. So when we're talking about Jesus entering the tabernacle, we're not talking about the tabernacle or the temple that's on earth. This is somewhere else, as you'll see in a minute. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them, so they're outwardly clean. How much more than, really pay attention to this verse or the next one. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? One more verse for now. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So we have the old covenant, talked about that some last week. Hebrews 9 talks about some more. The old tabernacle, the way it was set up, and you have these priests continually offering sacrifices. It was a daily thing. It never ended, and then they had the once a year thing where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. But now, Hebrews says, we're not dealing with the blood of animals. Imagine how many animals were sacrificed over the thousands of years before Jesus came. And millions. I don't even know if I could guess how many. But now we're dealing with the blood of Jesus. Not animals, but the blood of Jesus. And his blood is the only way you can find permanent forgiveness. There's no other way. He's it. Verse 15 is still up there, as you can see. We saw that word mediator last week. Jesus is your mediator. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them, to set them free from the sins they committed under the first covenant. I love that phrase, set them free. If you know Jesus, you're one of them. He set us free. Jesus set us free. Jesus set you free. You are free from all sin, eternally speaking, if you know Jesus. And I hope you do. Let's go back to verse 14 again. I know I'm going in reverse here. The last part of that verse, I have it highlighted, so that we may serve the living God. I think that's a very important phrase. So that we may serve the living God. That's our core purpose. If you know Jesus, you've come to him in faith at some point in the past. The core reason that you are still breathing is to serve the living God. You are set free. It's not a freedom to run around and do whatever we want and have our best life now and all that kind of thing. It's to serve God. How are you serving God right now? I don't mean in a second, but this point in your life. How are you serving God right now? Let's think back to the video and the story, Sergeant Atkins. This man gave his life to save other people, to save other members of his platoon, so that those people could go on serving their country, their families, their communities, wherever life would take them. And without that sacrifice, without Sergeant Atkins sacrificing his own life, those people could not have gone on serving. And as far as I know, they're all still alive today. They weren't very old or anything. What would it have said if those he saved ended up disgracing their country or went on to disgrace their families? What if they went on and ruined their own life? And people find ways to ruin their lives, don't they? What would it have said about the sacrifice that man made? That would mean Sergeant Atkins died for nothing. To set someone free to go and ruin lives? Jesus has made it possible for your life to be saved eternally. Not just this life, but eternally. And he has set you free to serve the living God. So what does it say if you are not serving him? If you are kind of goofing around in life and you just, you know, maybe you show up to church and that kind of thing, that's good. But what would it say if you're not serving him in really any meaningful way? Serving God is your purpose. You want, what's my purpose in life? Well, it's to serve God. That's why you're here. Now, it's a little more complicated when we figure out what is our specific purpose, because everybody has a different way of doing that and serving God in a different way. So are you doing that? That's the bottom line. Are you doing that? If not, why not? The second section of Scripture I'd like to look at in chapter 9, I'm going to set it up in the previous verse, verse 23. I'm not going to read 23, but 23 reminds us that the Jewish tabernacle was a copy and that the real tabernacle is in heaven. And kind of alluded to that earlier. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 24, Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. That was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Boy, isn't that powerful? Verse 25. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way a high priest, or way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the accumulation of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Himself. That is a key word right there. The sacrifice of himself. In 27 and 28 together. Just as people are to die once and after that face judgment, that eliminates a lot of things. If this is true, that eliminates a lot of it. Reincarnation. No. You get to try again. No. You're destined to die once, and after that face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So Hebrews 9 ends on a hopeful, positive note. We have Jesus to look forward to see him again. Jesus was the perfect, unblemished sacrifice. He doesn't have to offer sacrifice over and over and over again like before. What a tough job these priests had. And the thought that whatever I did today has to be sacrificed tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Jesus did it once and it was done. Remember the last thing he said on the cross before he died. It is finished. It was done. The work has been done. Jesus is your sacrifice. He became your sacrifice on your behalf. And not only did he offer a sacrifice on your behalf, he became the sacrifice. It was he himself who offered himself as your sacrifice. Let's go back and think of Sergeant Atkins again. And what he did really does get me emotional sometimes. And other videos like that I've seen. And it's really pretty amazing. Those he saved went on to live their lives. And again, I mentioned this, that I assume they're still alive now. I don't know if they're still in the military or they've gone on to other things. But those men that he saved aren't going to live forever as far as this world is concerned. They're not going to live. They've got a shelf life. There's a time, hopefully they'll live long lives well into old age, but at some point their lives will be over. And that's not to take anything away from this hero, and he is absolutely a hero. But what he did, little philosophy here, what he did was to prolong something that's going to happen anyway. Now, I'm glad he did it. I'm very much in admiration of him. But all those guys are going to die someday. So Sergeant Atkins and the hero he is and the hero he was, nothing in his power can save someone forever. Nothing. None of us have the ability to prolong a life forever. No one has that authority. No one has that power. But Jesus has that power. Jesus has the authority. He could save you forever. For eternity. And the simple idea of eternity is not something my little mind can get my head around. I can't understand eternity. But that's what Jesus gives us. Jesus gives you eternal life if you want it. And I hope you know him. I hope you've accepted that offer. If you do, your eternity is secure. No one can come along and trick you out of it. No one's going to come along and swipe from you. Your eternity is secure because it's a free gift, a gift of grace by Jesus, for from Jesus to you. Now, if you don't know him, I would really like to talk to you. This week would be nice. After the service, let's get together. We can talk about Jesus. Two things I want you to remember this morning. The first one, Jesus set you free. That's from that first section. Jesus has set you free to serve the living God. So serve him. Serve him. Do it. And the second thing I want you to remember and think about this week, he became the permanent, perfect sacrifice. We need to remember that. So remember him. Serve Jesus and remember him. Jesus is your sacrifice. And even though Sergeant Atkins, the sacrifice that he made, it should have been recognized much earlier. Well, now I'm getting into opinion. But I think, in my opinion, they should have recognized the man much earlier than this. But still, it happened. I'm glad the president did that. I'm glad that they remembered him. I'm glad CBS took some time in their news program to honor him on television, where many people could hear about his heroic act. We need to remember our heroes. It's a good thing to do that. Not just our military heroes. We have heroes in our life all over, the people that sacrifice themselves or their time or anything else. You know, that it's not always a death sacrifice. Sometimes it is. Remembering is proper. We need to do it. Jesus wants us to remember the sacrifice he made for us. Not because he needs the recognition. Jesus is God. He doesn't need your recognition. He doesn't need my recognition. The reason we're supposed to remember, it's for us. It's for us. Because remembering helps us to stay connected to him. It reminds us what he's done for us. It helps us to stay connected to each other. And Jesus gave us a gift of grace called communion, or you might have called it the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist or some other name growing up. He gave that. It's a gift. to us. It helps us remember the sacrifice. It's a sign to remember what really happened on the cross that day. And it's a reminder that we have been set free to serve the living God. We're going to do that right now. I'm going to start by reading some verses out of 1 Corinthians. And Jesus gave these words to Paul. Paul wrote this down. He wrote 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. And he wasn't at the Last Supper with Jesus. So Jesus gave him this from direct revelation. So he heard this from Jesus. And Paul wrote, in beginning in verse 23, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Friends, we've been set free to serve God, and he gave us something to remember that by. I'll ask our deacons that are going to serve communion this morning to come down here and get ready to do that. I remind you again that you are welcome to take communion with us. We are open, and we want to make sure you know that. The deacons are going to wear masks out of respect for those that might be a little nervous about this, since they're getting kind of close to you because of communion. As we pass this little unit out, if you'll hold on to them, we'll take them together, and I'll let you know when it's time to do that. And it's really a privilege to be able to do this, and to think that the church in one form or another looks a little different from churches to churches and through the ages. But the church has been doing this for a couple of thousand years now. And it's really amazing to think about that. We're connected to the body of Christ at large. We're connected to each other with this, but most of all, we're connected to Jesus. So contemplate, pray, approach the Lord, whatever you want to do during this time. But it's time to remember Jesus. And we're going to sing a song a little bit after communion. And it says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, the Prince of Glory died for you and for me. I hope you'll think about that when we're singing and think about what we're remembering here. You take that first seal off if you haven't already. This represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth and lived like you and me. He went to the cross. It was broken for you. Let's remember that right now. After thousands of years of sacrifice, animal sacrifice, Jesus came and did it once, and it was done. And it's still done, and it's done for you. Don't you ever forget that. We remember Jesus, the blood of Christ, given for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. Remember. Father, we thank you that you've given us this thing we call communion. It goes by other names, but we thank you for it. We thank you that we remember. We thank you that churches have been doing it since Jesus went back to went back to heaven. And Jesus, we thank you for dying for us. We will keep doing this. We will keep remembering you this way until you come back for us again. I thank you for this time together as brothers and sisters in Christ, what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.